Neil. Fantastic. Well, good afternoon, everyone. If you don't know me, my name is Martin, and today marks the last in a mini-series that we're going through at the moment, together as a church. But don't worry if you are a fan of Game of Thrones. I promise that this last episode will be a belter in comparison. I've never watched it, but I've heard. Hasn't been great. Anyway, what I'm going to be speaking about this afternoon is probably a topic which I have studied more than anything else, both spiritually and also professionally. It's also an area which Jesus talks about more than anything else. So it's something really important to him. So a quick recap, in case you've missed any of the previous 4 weeks, and it's great to see so many people back who haven't been here for a little while, which is brilliant. So we'll give you a quick recap on what we've worked through so far. So we are looking at some of the values that we hold as a church, okay? And we are using the analogy of plants because we are New Life Church, and we know that plants, it represents new life. So firstly, one of the key values for us as a church is we prepare the ground. This is through prayer. Everything we do as a church, we soak in prayer. And we've seen the testimonies. It's fantastic hearing about how the attic got started. Stories about the tots. And so much more. Bringing us right now to the building that God has blessed us with, which we have just soaked in prayer. We are a church that prioritizes prayer and engages the Holy Spirit in everything we are doing. Because just like what I'm doing right now, it's all about God and it's nothing about our own ability and strength. Secondly, when you want to plant something, you prepare the ground and then you sow the seed. We as a church, we value the sowing of the seed, sharing the gospel, sharing the love of God with people in this town. We use the phrase, everyone a witness, and we don't use this lightly. We're not saying everyone needs to be on the street corner as an evangelist. We all have our own personalities and styles and interests. But everyone here in our church, we value you to share your hearts with the people around you, to share how God has changed your lives. We use other things. We use TOTS. We use Attic. We use Alpha. We do multiple things in this church because we know how important it is not for us to be a club of people who love Jesus, but to go out there and sow the seeds and share this with people. And then thirdly, what do we see after that seed gets watered and cared for? We see growth. As a church, we value growth. That's individually, so that be in your personal relationship with God. That could be in your understanding of him and his plans for you. But also as a church, we want to grow. We want to get to the end of this year, 2023, and see that we have moved forward as a church, that we have seen our lives transformed and changed. So they were the three areas we've looked at as values. But there's a couple of cheeky little extras we've thrown in there. If you were here last week, Ian introduced deacons. This may be something new to you. And if you weren't here last week, and if you didn't see the email, and if you didn't see the video that you put in, and you didn't see the other video that you put in, can I really encourage you to do so? Because as a church, we value, we're going to start bringing this in, valuing deacons and what they can bring to look after different areas of the church, which will release our elders to pray, to reading scripture, and to really looking after us as a flock. But we'll start introducing that and talking about that in more detail. So it brings us on to the last area of our values series. It's something which is scary, a little bit exciting, but it's 100% godly. And that is his finances. And I use those words carefully. Not our finances, but his finances. And I really hope this afternoon that you will engage with this. I hope each one of you here will be challenged to go away and think about what this means to you individually, as a family, as a couple, and that God will really speak to you. Because it's something that's important to Jesus. It's interesting when we look at the parables that Jesus told. Of the 38 parables, 16 of them are about how we handle our money. Was it because Jesus needed money? No. Was it because of all the ministry that he was doing that he just needed to build a pot of money to fund everything? Was it because he came in contact with lots of rich people who were really struggling with materialistic things? No. I think one of the main reasons that Jesus talked so much about finances was because our finances have the ability to reveal the actual condition of our hearts. Jesus said in Luke 12:32-34, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give it to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that you do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And Jesus used dozens of examples and stories about people's possessions and finances because he knows that our finances are our number one rival to God. It's the number one thing that can take a place in our hearts instead of God. Because you might just see it as money leaving your bank. Most people here in the church, when they give via standing order. And many of you just see it as money leaving your bank. But our finance can be either a sign of full surrender and trust in God or slavery to the world. Our money is not simply a physical matter, but it's a spiritual matter. It's a heart matter. And with that in mind, I want to encourage you and challenge you with three key principles. I have got the memory of a goldfish, so for me it's really helpful if I've got just a few things to remember to go away with. So I've gone for three around how God's money, how we value and want to grow in as a church at New Life. So firstly, an understanding that it's all his. Okay? An understanding and an acknowledgement that the money that we have, it's all his. Psalm 50, verse 10 says this, "For all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills." That's quite funny, actually, because God actually owns the hills as well that the cattle are sitting on. And Psalm 24, verse 1 says this, "The earth is the Lord's with all of its wealth, the world and all the people living in it." Haggai 2:8 says this, "The silver and gold belong to me, the declaration of the Lord of hosts." So why should we give financially? Because it belongs to him anyway. And not only does he own it and our possessions, but scripture also tells us that he is the one that gives us the wisdom and the ability to earn the money in the first place. Deuteronomy 8:18 says this, "Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." We need to realize that all we have and all we will ever have is because God has given it to us to steward well. Not to build up pots and to go out and buy the best and fanciest things, but to steward well for his purposes. So often the question isn't what percentage to give. It's about a relationship. If he is Lord over your life, then the only thing to do is number two. Honor God and trust him with the first and best of all your income. There's really helpful direction for this in Proverbs, which I'd like to dig into quickly and just explore a couple of key principles for us as a church. When you look at scripture in the right way, in the right context, you don't go wrong. And remember, throughout all of these scriptures that I'm going to be looking at, we're going to be looking at together, I want you to be asking yourself these two questions. What is God saying to me through this passage? And secondly, what do I need to do in response? God wants to speak to you through every passage in Scripture. And he wants you to say, what do I need to do in response to this? What do I need to do to be obedient to this calling in my life? So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 10. Which is over two of the slides. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. How should we acknowledge this living and active God? As Lord, Master, and owner of all we have and all we will have. So we don't have barns. Most of us in here, I don't have a barn. I'm not sure if you have a barn. But this passage is really showing that we need to honor God with our money. We need to trust God with his money. And we need to release it. And you honor God when you make giving the first priority. That means before you pay any of the other bills, you know, I need to get my gym membership in. You know, it's January. Get that one in first, and my, you know, Sky subscription. Get all those in. And now I've got, this is what I've got left. This is yours, God. This is not what he's saying. He wants to be Lord over your life. That touches so many areas, but for this afternoon, he's talking about your finances. J. Oswald Sanders, who is a missionary, author, and teacher, says this, which I both love, and if I'm honest with you, it scares the living days out of me. But it's entirely biblical. The basic question is not how much of our money we should give to God, but how much of God's money we should keep for ourselves. It completely turns it on his head. And C.S. Lewis says this, I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I'm afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. We trust God when we step out of our comfort zone. And that could be in many ways. It could be bringing a prayer on a Sunday service. It's just so out of your comfort zone that you are trusting God. It could be that you know that you don't have much disposable, if any, disposable income, but you're trusting God with it. It could be sharing God at the street corners or at the school, because it's just not something you feel comfortable with. It scares you, the thought of evangelizing or telling somebody about God. But when we step out of our comfort zone, it is all him and none of us. And that's what he loves. That is what he wants. Putting God first means we're trusting him to take care of us. Because it's not enough to just know that our money belongs to God. If we really believe that all that we are and all that we have belong to Jesus, we need to willingly give it to him. Trust God more than you trust money. When I say this sentence, I'm also preaching to myself, which I find most times when I'm preaching, that so often you can just feel that little bit more comfortable when your bank balance is doing a little bit better. But everything through Scripture says, trust me more than trusting money. Because you can't outgive God. Scripture shows it. God even asked us to test him on this. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that there will not be room enough to store it. And I have heard so many testimonies of people I know that have just done this, just given sacrificially, and God has just blessed them with it as they've taken that step. Fantastic. So, moving on to number three, a value that we hold here at New Life Church when it comes to finances, is that we give joyfully and generously. Giving has to come from the heart. You don't need to give. There's no commitment to give here in this church. Randy Alcorn said it this way, wonderfully and powerfully. Gaze on Christ long enough and you will become a giver. Give long enough and you will become like Christ. It changes you when you give sacrificially, when you give joyfully. Generous giving is grace-centered giving. We come back to that trust issue again. If you trust God, then you don't need to ask, how much should I give? The question becomes, how can I give more? Jesus says in Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The giving is not an obligation, but it's an opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God and lay up treasures in heaven. Faithful and sacrificial giving to God is evidence of genuine love for him. and for the church, his bride. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, says this: get all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. I have seen God regularly take what I've offered to him and use it greatly, and he's always left enough for me to be able to pay the bills, put food on the tables. I remember the time when we had kids really early on, it was like, I've got £20 left for another 2 or 3 weeks. But we always got through those months. And Maria, Rob and Maria, who are now serving in children's work, wanted me to share this with you. This is a testimony from them. We have seen God provide for us as a family time and time again. Just after we got married, one of us took a huge pay cut that we couldn't afford. We had a large mortgage. Interest rates were at 13%. We think it's bad now. And we already had nothing left at the end of the month. However, we felt that God wanted us to trust him. We gave and we got through it. When we wanted to start a family, there was no way on paper that we could afford one of us to give up work. But with assurances from our own parents that they would help us if needed, we went ahead. God provided. We didn't need our parents. When I decided after much prayer and encouragement to leave my well-paid job to become a student, it was a massive leap of faith. Then at the same time, my husband, Rob, as the main breadwinner, found his job collapsed. So he decided to go self-employed. Two massive leaps of faith with two young children and a very large mortgage. God blessed us hugely in those ventures and provided more than we could have hoped for. When friends and family told us what it would cost to support our children through uni, we knew we couldn't afford it. Yet once again, God miraculously made it possible. We found that putting our trust in God and not in our finances has proved him to be forever faithful and bless us. As I look back, I know that we've not just survived, but thrived, and we're so thankful to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 8 says this: each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. We give joyfully and freely out of love for God and love for the church. 2 Corinthians, just a couple of verses on from that. In verse 11, it says this: you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And that's it. We say to God, all I am and all I have is yours. And I fully trust you to take care of me. And that's a massive step, I think, for us. And it may be completely different for us here. But that is what God's calling us to do as a church and as individuals, to fully trust him to take care of us, no matter what happens in our life. I'm going to give above and beyond, even to the extent where some may say it's reckless giving. But what does that mean practically for us as a church here at New Life? As a church, we want to be able to reach more people. We want to be able to disciple more people, and we want to be able to serve more people. And as Christians, we're no longer giving towards Jerusalem's temple like they did when they were tithing. We are called instead to support the work of Jesus. The work of Jesus is building his church. And as a church, everything we do costs money. I'm the treasurer of this church, and I can see that unfortunately the lights don't come on with the burning power of Jesus Christ, and the teas and coffees aren't like manna falling down from heaven like we see Moses. That's why they taste so good. Everything costs money. And as a church, each month, this is how much money we receive. $3,000. Oh, should be the next one. £750. On average, that is how much we get as a church from people. People give in different ways. Some people give through standing orders. But we do actually have a box at the back where you can put donations or use the card machine. But on average, this is how much money we get each month. But what do we spend it on, I hear you ask? Well, here are some of the main themes, so some of the biggest areas. So we employ two people to work 3 days. That is relatively low for a church. A lot of the churches that we are part of the family of have full-time employees and multiple ones of those. But everything we do as a church is done over 3 days. And I just wanted to take this opportunity just to acknowledge all the work you do, Susie. I think Susie works 2 days a week, but I think she does about 10 days a week worth of it. She's constantly doing all of the outreach, leading all the outreach work we do, social media posts, keeping in touch with parents and all the people she serves. You do a fantastic job. And Ian also does a fantastic job. You're probably watching at home, Ian. Works all hours of the day in between being a fireman and saving cats from trees. He leads, you know, with the elders, leads his church really well, does lots of the admin, lots of the things in the background. And we couldn't really do anything that we do in this church, or very little, without employing Susie and Ian. So that takes up about £1,300 a month. Moving on to giving. So giving is not just relevant for individuals, but also as a church. We want to reflect that in how we support different people. So giving generally, we give to the nations. So we've got our friends in Serbia who are part of our New Frontiers family as well and want to support the work they're doing out there. We also support the work that's being done by Relational Mission, which is a group of churches in this local area and some of the people that lead that work. But we also support people in need. So we've come in contact with lots of people through the groups that we run, people within this church, and we support people as needs arise and as it's brought to our attention. I think that's a really good thing to do. Next is building hire. £450 is the bargain of the century to have a building to run all the groups we have, the Sunday service, and that's one of the reasons, not the only one of the reasons we moved from the community centre, because that was costing us over £1,000 a month. And we knew that God was calling us to have a building of our own, so we made that decision to come here, where they've loved us so well here, but also they are charging less than half the price. So that's £450. We also have lots of equipment. We have musical equipment, laptops, just bits and pieces that need replacing, so it's not £200 every month, but on average there are things to make church run. We also have youth and children's work. This does change each year, but it's investing in our groups. So Attic, Tots, New Day, anyone that wants to come to New Day that's from the Attic or groups like that, we will cover the cost of them to make sure they come because we know how good it is. Also, the children that are in the other room, there are resources we pay for to help bring them into a relationship with Jesus. That I would be happy to double, triple, quadruple that every year because it's such good investment. And then there's just smaller amounts, fees and subscriptions to things as we are a charity, as our accounts need to be audited and other things like that. So what it has meant, particularly for the last year, and this has been intentional, that we have been able to save about £937 about per month. Okay, so this is intentional because we've been trying to build up a pot of money so that we can buy a building. I'll put the next slide on, please. But we don't own this building, so there's a lot of costs that are going to change when we move into our new building. So remember that number. We were roughly about £937 better off each month. We know that the cost of having a building is going to go up by £550. That's from just from our difference between the cost of the mortgage and the rent we pay on this building. We then need to start to pay for the cost of running the building. We know energy prices are very high. So an estimate of £300 to £500 for that. There will also be repairs and maintenance ongoing. And that's without looking at the cost of just getting that building run from the first place. But how much money do we have, you may ask? Money at the top. £145,000, which is incredible. As a church, you have given fantastically, and the gift day that we had made such a difference. Because you couldn't write this. You literally could not write this. Can you put the next slide on first? 2 years ago,
we had £77,000 in our bank. In 2 years, we've almost doubled the amount of income we have, which, when you just look at the size of our church, doesn't make any sense. And if you go back a slide, we've got £145,000 in the bank, and it's going to cost us £145,000 to buy the building and pay for all the legal and professional fees. Almost to the pound, God has provided everything we need to move into this building for phase one. Okay. But you can see the problem here is that we will have spent all our money buying a building, but we know that we need to put chairs in that building. We need to set up internet, telephone. We need to make it fit for purpose. So there will be additional costs that we are going to incur. But as we've seen before, as a church, we have been faithful to God and he has blessed us so amazingly. It's incredible. So we're going to need a large amount of money to make it fit for use. And the encouragement is that, you know, I want you to speak to God and see what he puts on your heart, how he's going to stir you up for this. Because as Christians, we really do have a responsibility to fund the ministry of the local church. The level of giving is up to each Christian. For most of us, it may be using a tithe. That's something they speak of in the Old Testament. I'll very quickly mention it, and I'll explain why I'm only mentioning it quickly in a second. So in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse." So a tithe was 10% throughout the entire Old Testament. The Bible commanded that his people gave a tithe, or 10% of their income, back to the local church or the synagogue. It's a guide that some people can find helpful to work out how much to give. But personally, the New Testament opens up an even broader perspective about giving. That is, we don't give because we have to. We don't give a certain percentage because we have to. We're not under law to tithe. We give because we want to. What we find in the New Testament are gospel-motivated, grace-saturated people that are willing, sacrificial givers. They gave sacrificially out of grace, out of love for God, not because something somewhere said they had to give 10%. That's where we stand as a church. There is no requirement to give, and what you do give has to come from a place of love for God and love for his church. So, as an overview, because I know that I get to the end of some preaches and I've kind of forgotten the points that I've just heard. Firstly, as a church, we put value on and want to grow in being generous givers to the local church here at New Life. We acknowledge that our money is God's money. It's all his. It came from his, and that we need to use it for his purposes. Secondly, we honour God and trust him with the first of all our money. He doesn't get that scraps, that 50p at the end of the month when we paid all the other things. We think it needs to be the first of all our money, as scripture would say so. And thirdly, we are to give joyfully and generously. Not out of a need or based on hitting a certain percentage or a certain level, but out of love for God and his church. Because if we can trust God with our eternity, our future, where we're going to be when we die, surely we can trust him with our finances and what he's given us. Can we trust God? Can you trust God with your finances? So I'm asking you again, as an individual, as a family, as a couple, please go away, think about this, pray about this, and see how God stirs you. Because God has blessed us with an amazing new building. And we know, you've seen the figures up there, we know that as a church we need a lump sum immediately just to be able to make it fit for purpose, to be able to use it for all the things that God wants to use his building for. But we're also going to need to increase our monthly giving as well, just because the building's going to cost more money. I just want to finish with this analogy that James used. I found this so helpful in last week's prayer. Put the picture on, please. So, he used this analogy of a family meal. that when you go to a family meal, when he goes to his family meal, everyone brings something. You know, maybe you bring a salad starter or you bring a pudding. You know, you bring something to the table because you're not attending a restaurant. You're not a guest. This is a family. And here at New Life Church, we are a family. And as a family, we want to bring things to the table. We want to be able to make our family work. Just be asking God, what does he want you to bring? In the immediate sense, but also ongoing. Practically, there are a couple of ways that you can give. So on our website, newlifenorthwalsham.com, there is a section at the top, which is called Giving. You can pop it on there. All the bank details are on there if you do want to give monthly, or you can use the box at the back. There is a Christian responsibility to give generously to the local church, but there's Christian freedom to give outside to the church. So sometimes God will also stir you to give to other things, other causes that are going on. And there's something that's happening at the moment. We're all aware of what's going on in Ukraine. And one way that we as a church want to support some of the work out there is to raise money for some generators that are being taken out. So we've got a video that we're just going to put on now, which will show a little bit about that and talk about the offering next week.
Hello, this Sunday, at church, we're focusing on the subject of money and giving, and particularly in the light of the building that we are very much hoping to buy soon. We're encouraging you to give, to be generous. And as a church, our finances are largely going towards that building project. But in every circumstance, even when we've got a project like this, we want to be generous to those outside the church, to be thinking of those in need beyond ourselves. And we've been made aware of a need. Duncan Baker, our local MP, and a bunch of local folks went out to Ukraine a little while ago and were made aware of the fact that one of Russia's strategies in the war is to attack Ukrainian power plants. And so there's a massive need for electricity. There's a massive need for generators for the people of Ukraine. And so Duncan Baker and those who are spearheading this initiative are planning to physically take a load of generators in vans to Ukraine. And we have decided that it would be a lovely thing for us at New Life Church to be able to provide a New Life Church generator. It won't be New Life Church branded or anything like that, but to provide the money to pay for a really good generator to take out to Ukraine. So next Sunday, this coming Sunday, any money given to the church in any way other than regular monthly giving, all money given to the church is going to go to that initiative. So if you want to join us in that, then give in whatever way you want. You can put money in the donations box at the back of church or through the card machine that's there as well. You can give through the website. There's a give button. Or you can give by direct bank transfer. We'll give you the details of our bank account if you don't already have it. That's our favourite option because it's a zero cost. But whatever way you like, you can give if you want to join us in that. And the church will triple any donations up to the cost of £1,250, which will pay for a really good generator and fuel to run it for really quite a long time. So if you want to join us in that, then give next week. No obligation, of course, but if you want to, you're very welcome to donations next Sunday. If you want to join us in that demonstration of our love for people who really need it, then you're welcome to join us in that. Cheers.
Lovely. Thanks, Ian. Brilliant. So that's next week. If you'd like to give towards that Ukraine generator, come, bring, ready to give. But as I mentioned before, we are in the process of buying a building, and we know that we need some more money to be able to fit it up. And we are going to have a gift day again to do this. Yeah, I think it is very exciting. And just like the church is going to be tripling what anyone gives next week for the generator, we have faith that God will multiply what God gives us at the gift day. So can I invite James up to let us know about the gift day that's coming?
There's Martin. Yeah, I mean, it's on the wall behind me. Martin's already done a stonking talk this afternoon, but 23rd of April, so it's a couple of weeks after Easter. We are going to have a church gift day towards the building. And we just wanted to give you all just some time to be thinking and praying about it, really. We were humbled and amazed at your response to the last gift day. It was just really revealing of your heart for what you felt and what we felt God was leading us into as a church with this building. And it has been a journey. We didn't even really know that there was a building for us when we had that gift day. And then this is what has come along, which has just been amazing. So as Martin has encouraged you, please, just over the next few weeks and days and months, just pray. Pray that God will do a work in your heart, because we are so adamant that we don't want your money if you feel obliged to give. We don't want it. You can keep it. But if you are feeling stirred in a joyful, generous way, then come on the 23rd and offer this to him as your worship, and then we'll see what he has to do with it. And hopefully, I mean, who knows, we might even have that gift date in our new building. Barney's giving me a frown. I'm just going to finish by praying for us all. We're going to go back into worship. And let's just lift this time up to God. Let's humble ourselves before him and ask his spirit to bring just through the conviction that we need in all of this. So, Father God, I thank you so much that Jesus, you gave everything for us. You laid it all down. You laid aside your majesty, Father. You gave up your life for us, Lord. And God, we want an overflow of our love for you to go into every aspect of our life, Lord, not confined to anything. We don't want to hold anything back from you. But Holy Spirit, I pray for each of us that you will be about a work in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, in the way that we look at money, the way we look at finances. It's so counterculture to what we see around us. But Lord, we want to honor you in every single way. And Lord, we know that you respond to that, Father. We know that it delights your heart, and that it's an amazing opportunity for us to worship you in that. Lord, so I pray even now as we come back into this time of sung worship, Lord, as we lift our voices to you, as we sing just great truths to you, Lord, I pray, Spirit of God, speak to us. Speak to our hearts, speak to the depths of our being. Align ourselves with your will, with your way. And Lord, I really pray as well, just for the gift day next week, for this generator, Lord, Jesus, your heart was for the poor, your heart was for the broken, your heart was for those that needed to be protected, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we will, as a church, will rise to this, Lord. Amen.